Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who thinks Wall Street could learn a thing or two about how business is done on Main Street.
Well, if the good Lord don't like the way I conduct business, let him say something. Let him give me a sign.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you, especially when I get a chance to reintroduce you to our good friend Jim Copeland. Jim is director of the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute, and he is he's a guy that we call on quite often to help us understand some of the things that are going on in over in the weeds of the way our government operates, especially the federal government, and some of the legal and constitutional issues, and take some of those things that affect you and me, that clearly are part of our, either they become part of our lives, but when they're still in the weeds, convert them and translate them into plain English so we can understand them. He's here to do that right now. Jim Copeland, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim, as always.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. President Obama gave his State of the Union speech last week, and we all know that the State of the Union speech is a constitutional requirement of his job. He has to deliver the State of the Union speeches. Now, I'll remind folks, and I don't remember when, you probably do, Jim, but for a long, long time, President Washington delivered his by mail or something, by courier, and for a long time
they don't have to deliver a speech. They have to communicate a statement to the Congress. But in our modern era, it's basically free television commercial time where people will watch him on TV, so it's always going to be delivered as a speech nowadays.
It's a classic example of the bully pulpit, isn't it?
Exactly.
And I want to hasten to say that every president, Republican, Democrat, independent, mugwump, whatever president we have or have had or will have, uses this as for political purposes, right, Jim?
Oh, of course. I mean, and particularly in a re-election year, but even otherwise, that's effectively what they're designed for these days. Because when else are you going to have a broad national television audience paying attention to the president? He can call reporters, and they may or may not put it on the major networks. In general, though, a lot of times these days they'll just put it on the news networks. So,
right,
it's to actually get the major networks covering this is an opportunity that no president's going to leave vacant.
Well, and of course, the three non-election year State of the Unions are quite different from the election year State of the Union, aren't they? In terms of the soaring political rhetoric.
Yeah, well, there are usually, I guess, two State of the Unions that are. You typically have an inauguration address, then you have two States of the Union addresses, and then you have a State of the Union in a re-election year or a final year. But in these ones where you've got a first-term president running for re-election, you're going to have even more of a political valence there, or a different style of political valence, because instead of trying to engender support for your congressional agenda, you're really trying to whip up support for your reelection campaign, or either persuading centrist voters to go with you or get your base excited about you, or both. And that's clearly what the speech last week was about.
And when you've got a case like now where we've got a Democrat, a member of one party has the White House, and another party has control of part, if not all, of Congress, then you've got the ability to maybe even go over the top even more by recommending things be done that you know won't be done. Maybe you don't even want them done, but they sound good, and you know they're never going to happen because of the opposing side. What do you think?
Well, I think that's definitely the case, and I think this wasn't a legislative agenda talk that was really out there. It was a re-election talk, and you're absolutely correct that the majority, with a handful of exceptions, the majority of the proposals that the president was floating were proposals that he knows are dead on arrival when they reach the U.S. House.
Right. And that's kind of what we're talking about today, folks, is a little bit of a trying to help all of us sort of weed through the State of the Union speech of this kind. And in particular, this year, President Obama's State of the Union. And so when we come back after this next break, we're going to get into a little bit of the details of his presentation and see how much of it was politics, how much of it was real, and how much of it was actually not even, some of it wasn't even accurate, if you think about it. Some of his proposals didn't truck with another. And we're gonna get Jim to help us with that coming up after the next break. It's 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Jim Copeland's our guest. He's with Manhattan Institute, and I'm with you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.